Savaya Channala Bhaktivedanta Goswami, Srila Prabhupada Kijai, ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Kijai, Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Kijai, Namacharya Srila Puridas Thakur Kijai, Gurem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sidvaita Gadadha, Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Kijai, Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gaur Kapata Sayam Kun Radhakunda, Giri Govardhan Kijai, Vrindavadam Kijai, Vajiradam Kijai, Jagadasnami Kijai, Ibunavai Kijai, Shivati Dalasi Devi Kijai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Kijai, Go Premananda, Hari 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 Bhakta. All glories, the assembled of the devotees, all glories, the assembled of the devotees, all glories, the assembled of the devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Kijai, Gaur Premananda. So we're going to start reading from the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th chapter. Today we're going to read text 1 and 2, and then we're going to talk. So Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I'm just going to read the Sanskrit, since you don't have it written out here. And then we'll do the word-by-word synonyms together, like we normally do. So, Shri Shukravacha Katvanga Dirgabhavuscha Ragus Tasmat Pritu Shavaha Ajastato Maharajas Tasmat Dashatro Bhavat. Okay, you can repeat. Shri Shukuvacha. Shri Shukadev Goswami said, Katvangat, from Maharaj Katvanga, Dirgabahu, the son named Dirgabahu, Cha, and Raghu Tasmat, from him, Raghu was born. Prithu Shavaha, saintly and celebrated. Ajaha, the son named Aja. Tataha, from him. Maharajaha, the great king called Maharaj Dasharatha. Tasmat, from Aja, Dasharataha, by the name Dasharatha, Abhavat, was born. So Shukadev Goswami said the son of Maharaj Katvanga was Dirgabahu, and his son was the celebrated Maharaj Raghu. From Maharaj Raghu came Aja, and from Aja was born the great personality, Maharaj Dasaratha. So now I'll just read the second text, which has a purport. Dashapi Bhagavan Esha Satcha Rama Maiho Hrihi Amsham Shena Chatur Duargat Utratvam Pratita Surahai Rama Lakshman Bharata Shatrugna Iti Samjaya. So the translation is, being prayed for by the demigods, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth Himself, directly appeared with His expansion and expansions of the expansion. Their holy names were Rama, Lakshman, Bharata, and Shatrughna. These celebrated incarnations thus appeared in four forms as the sons of Maharaja Dasaratha. So, purport. By Srila Prabhupada. Lord Ramachandra and his brothers, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna are all Vishnu Tattva, not Jiva Tattva. The Supreme Personality of Godhead expands into many, many forms, Advaita Machuta Manarim Nandurupam, that's from the Brahma Samhita, fifth chapter, text 33. Although they are one and the same, Vishnu Tattva has many forms and incarnations. As confirmed in the Brahma Samhita, in the 39th verse, Ramani Murti Shu Kala Niyamena Tishtam. The Lord is situated in many forms such as Rama, Lakshman, Bharata, and Shatrughna, and these forms may exist in any part of his creation. All these forms exist permanently, eternally, as individual personalities of Godhead, and they resemble many candles, all equally powerful. Lord Ramachandra, Lakshman, Bharata, and Shatrughna, who being Vishnu Tattva, are all equally powerful, and they became the sons of Maharaj Dasharatha, in response to the prayers by the demigods. Okay, so Om Gananta Mananda Shah Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unminitam Yena Tasmai Shigarve Maha. So, a little bit of philosophy first before we start telling stories. This is called the Chaturvyuha expansion to the Lord. And that means Vasudev, Sankarshan, Prajuna, and Aniruddha. These are the Chaturvyuha expansions. So, just like we have Lord Krishna, who's the original, and then Balaram, Prajuna, and Aniruddha. And they expand, and expansions of expansions. Anyway, so wherever the Lord is, those expansions of his accompany him. And just like you have Lakshman, who has accompanied Lord Ram, and you have Balaram, who has accompanied Krishna. And interestingly enough, Balaram is the elder brother, and Lakshman is the younger brother. And the reason that Balaram's the older brother instead of being the younger brother is that Lakshman prayed to Lord Ram at the end of all these pastimes where he had to do so many things he didn't want to do, like putting Sita in the fire, putting Sita in the woods. Lakshman prayed, please let me never take birth as your younger brother again. In this way, you know, you give me instructions I have to follow, but I don't like them. So, but the problem is that when Lakshman took birth as Balaram, Krishna did not follow his instructions. In other words, Krishna rarely listened to his older brother. So Krishna doesn't set a good example. Of all the incarnations of God, I would say that Krishna sets the worst example of all the different incarnations. In other words, you know, dancing with other people's wives in the middle of the night, stealing butter, pinching babies, being extremely tricky in the battle of Kurukshetra in many different ways. So Krishna is not someone you need to follow. So, but we follow Ram, because Ram is Maryada Purushottam. That means he sets a perfect example. Of course, you all know the saying, you know, one wife, one word, and one arrow. Got it? One wife, one word, and one arrow. So, especially, you know, because if he pulled his bow, and the bow was pulled, and there was an arrow there, and had to go. It had to be shot. Just like when he raised his bow towards the ocean, when he wanted to cross the ocean. And he said to the ocean, you know, you came up with a good alternative plan, but I still, my bow has been strung, and, you know, I pulled the arrow, what am I going to do? And Varuna said, you fired it at an area that became a desert area. And all the living, I guess it was the Rajasthani desert or something like that. Some desert in India. So anyway, so one arrow, one word. When he said something, he always kept his word. And one wife, even after Sita Devi was sent away and he had to do the Rajasuya sacrifices, Lord Ram just put a deity of Sita Devi next to him. He never got married again. Even though so many girls were interested in him, he said, Ekapatni Vrat. That was his vow. Only one wife. Actually, his father, Dasharath, learned the lesson the hard way. Just like the word for one who has more than one wife, it's called Saputni. That means with wife or with wives. Anyway, it's Sanskrit. And so if you make a little adjustment in that word, Saputna, it means with an enemy. You know, so co-wife means, and anyway, you can adjust the Sanskrit word a little bit. It means co-wife, enemy. Anyway, so you got it. So Dasarath learned his lesson with Kaikeyi. And you have other kings who learn their lessons. Actually, you find so many stories in the Vedic literatures of people who have more than one wife and they end up in trouble. Like King Uttanapada, he had two wives, Surichi and Suniti. And one of the wives rejected his son, Dhruva Maharaj. Of course, there was a good result about that, but that's another story. So therefore, my recommendation, if you decide to accept it, is to have one wife. That's it. One wife, one life. Anyway, so, apart from that particular thing, Lord Ram was fixed in Dharma, and we should actually understand how he ruled his kingdom. He was equal to everybody. Even there's that story in the Valmiki Ramayana, how he was equal to even a dog. Once upon a time, a dog came to complain to him. And the dog was saying, I was beaten by a Brahmin. And Lord Ram called the Brahmin. Did you beat this dog? And the Brahmin said, yes, I was hungry. You know, sometimes you're hungry and you lose your temper. You're real hungry. So Ram said, that's not an excuse. And he asked his ministers, what should we do with the Brahmin? And the ministers were trying to figure out how to punish the Brahmin. And finally, they couldn't figure it out because Brahmins are not supposed to be punished or killed or anything like that. So finally, they asked the dog, what should you do? What's your recommendation? He said, dog uvacha, kuta uvacha. So he said, make him temple president. I told this story before, some of you heard it. Some of you haven't heard it. And everyone was amazed. Why are you going to make him in charge of the mandali? You know, didn't say temple president, mandali. President. And Ram said, ask the dog. And the dog said, once upon a time, I was the Mandali president. And that's how I became a dog. Because I was responsible for all the sinful activities that took place in the Mandali or in the temple. So we're punishing him by making him president. So anyway, what can I do? And actually, Prabhupada also said that Yamaraj, who was basically or is in charge of punishing the living entities, made one little mistake. He had this Muni, Mandavya Muni, who was pierced with a lance because he had done some mistake as a kid. He had pierced an insect when he was only 4 years old. And he was cursed to become a Shudra. And Prabhupada also said, this is not only temple presidents get problems. Prabhupada said it. The GBC are his, anyways, like Yamaraj. Not exactly like Yamaraj. But Prabhupada said that Yamaraj is Krishna's GBC, so if a GBC person makes a mistake, he has to take birth as a Shudra in his next life. Oh my God. So, anyway, so Ram was equal to everybody. There's some description in the Valmiki Ramayana that if any citizen wanted to come and see Ram, they could come and see him. There was not only ministers. So Maryada Purushottam, the perfect example of etiquette and morality. Now, let's talk a little about the history. Here in this particular verse, it's mentioned that Rama is the Supreme Personality of God, and his brothers are his incarnations, and these pastimes of the Lord and expansions are eternal. In other words, the appearance of Ram did not just occur in the Treta Yuga some millions of years ago, but it keeps occurring on a regular schedule. And right now, Ram is appearing in some universe, somewhere. Right now, Ram is killing Ravan in some universe, somewhere. Right now, Ram is banishing Sita Devi in some universe, somewhere. So it's like a routine school. And even that was recognized in the dynasty that Ram appeared in. It was the Ikshvaku dynasty, which originally comes from the sun god, Vivaswan, who is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. Imam Vivaswate Yoga Prakaham Aham of Yayam. Vivaswan Manave Praha Manu Ikshvakave Pravit. So there's this Vivaswan, Manu, Ikshvaku, you understand? And Ram appeared in that dynasty. But the interesting thing about the beginning of that dynasty, Vivaswan, is Vivaswan had deities of Sita and Ram. This is perhaps millions of years before Sita and Ram appeared in the Treta Yuga. Vivaswan was worshipping deities of Sita and Ram. I'm not sure if there was Lakshman there too, but at least Sita and Ram deities. And so Vivaswan gave those deities to his son, Ikshvaku. Ikshvaku gave it to Manu. And those deities were passed down, and interestingly enough, they were eventually given to Ram. And so what Ram did, he didn't want to worship his own deities because it's not really proper. If you have a deity of yourself, you're not supposed to worship it. Just like sometimes I go to someone's house and they have a picture of me there. It's not that I offer flowers to myself. That would be inappropriate. So Ram didn't want to worship, so he put the deities in the closet. So while the deities were in the closet, there was some problem in Ayodhya. The problem was there was a great devotee of Ram, he was a Brahmin, who had taken a vow not to eat unless he saw Ram that day. He said, I'm not eating until I see Ram. But the problem was that Ram would sometimes go out. He not only stayed in the castle all day long, but he would go out and practice his archery. He would go out and see the citizens in different locales. Because at that time, the Ram Raj was basically the whole world, not just India. Actually, even if you study geology, you'll see that at a particular juncture, all the continents were actually one. They all fit into each other like puzzle pieces. And so Ram was like with the king, or the emperor, sorry. Emperor is different than king. Emperor is the king of kings. He's over all the kings. And that's why Ram did the Rajasuya sacrifice. Rajasuya is only for those who are the emperors, not an ordinary king. Ashwamedha is for ordinary kings. So Ram had to go out, and this poor Brahmin, he was sometimes fasting for days. And when Ram heard about that, what did he do? He said, here's my deities. You see the deities every day? Offer your bhoga. And you can eat, like we're doing here. Every day we see Ram. So we're able to eat. Prasad. So the Brahmin, he was very, very happy. And when that Brahmin passed away, he gave those deities to Hanuman. Hanuman was worshipping the deities. And in Kim Purusha Loka, Hanuman is still on, or in this world, not this world, but in the universe. There's a place called Kim Purusha Loka. And Hanuman is chanting the glories of the Supreme Personality of God. Hanuman is so loyal to Ram that even 5,000 years ago, When Krishna wanted to see him in Dwarka, he refused to come. That's how loyal, because Ram didn't tell. So the story is as follows. It's told by Sanatana Goswami that once upon a time, Krishna wanted to see Hanuman. And what he did is he asked Guru, or as we say in Sanskrit, Garuda, Hindi is Guru. He sent Garuda to get Hanuman. And Garuda went and he told Hanuman, Lord Krishna wants to see you. And Hanuman said, no. I'm not going. Because Ram told me to stay here and chant. Without Ram's order, I'm not going anywhere. And so Garuda said, you don't have a choice. You're coming with me. And I am the mighty Garuda. I carry the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Without me, he's not going anywhere. So Hanuman said, just try. So then Hanuman just like flicked his tail at Garuda. And Garuda just like, whoo, went through the air all the way back to Dwarka. He landed at Krishna's lotus feet. And Krishna said, what happened? And Garuda said, I don't understand. I'm supposed to be the most powerful. And this monkey, he just threw me away. And Krishna said, you're very proud. Garuda sometimes gets very proud. The story is that sometimes he says, even to Vishnu, that without me, you can't go anywhere. Imagine saying that to God. And then one time, Vishnu put his elbow on Garuda and said, okay, let's see if you can fly now. And Garuda was crushed. He couldn't move. So sometimes he's a little proud. So then Krishna said, well, I can figure out a way to get Hanuman here. Krishna manifested himself, because Krishna and Ram are non-different. So Krishna manifested himself as Lord Ram. And then he told Rukmini, you should manifest yourself as Sita Devi. And then he sent Garuda again, and Garuda went, and he told Hanuman. Hanuman flew back, and he worshipped Sita and Ram, and he was very happy. So, even though Hanuman was aware, he was aware that Sita and Ram and Krishna and Rukmini are not different. But still, he specifically worshipped the form of the Lord that was his worshipable deity. He was very chaste. He's very chaste to Lord Brahma. And in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, we have Hanuman appearing as Murari Gupta, one of Lord Chaitanya's associates. And Lord Chaitanya tried to get him to chant Hare Krishna. He said, just chant Hare Krishna. You don't have to chant so much Sita Ram anymore. Just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And he explained to him philosophically that when we say Hare Ram, that's Lord Ram. You know, Sita Ram, that's okay. And so, Hanuman said, it's Murari Gupta, who is Hanuman? He said, I can't do it. I can't stop chanting Sita Ram, Sita Ram, Raghupati Raghava Raja Raghupati Tapali, Sita Ram. And then Lord Chaitanya said, I was testing you to see your devotion. So each and every devotee, the point I'm making is that each and every devotee has their own worshipable manifestation of the Lord. Some of you here in Fiji may be devoted to Lord Ram. And you still have to chant your japa, though. You can't say, I'm devoted to Lord Ram. Don't ask me to chant 16 rounds of japa anymore. I just want to go Sita Ram on my beat. Sita Ram, Sita Ram. Sita Ram, Sita Ram, Sita Ram, Sita Ram, Sita Ram. It's faster, actually. I think you can chant probably all your rounds about 45 minutes like that. Sita Ram, Sita Ram, Sita Ram, Sita Ram, Sita Ram, Sita Ram, Sita Ram. Wow. No, you have to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. That's Lord Chaitanya. Anyone who's in the Krishna Consciousness Movement, anyone who's in Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya is the Yuga Avatar. That's the method. But anyway, so Hanuman is extremely loyal to Lord Ram. So we can learn from that. Ram's great devotee, Hanuman, his loyalty. He couldn't live without Ram. And of course, we all know the story, even though it's not Hanuman Jayanti, we can tell some Hanuman stories. So even we know the story that Hanuman, he was given some pearls by Mother Sita Devi. And he was like chewing on the pearls, trying to open them. And the sages were saying, "What? These are remnants of Sita Devi. How can you do that?" He said, "I'm just looking for Ram and Sita." And they said, "What kind of devotee are you? You're just a monkey." And he said, "Well, you'll see." And then he tore open his chest, and there was Sita and Ram inside his chest. So that's a great devotee. Another story of Hanuman is that once upon a time he was seeing Mother Sita, and he went to get some fruit for Mother Sita. He said, "Mother Sita, can I have some fruit?" And Sita said, "Just be patient. I have to decorate myself for Ram." And she was putting the sindoor bread in her hair. And Hanuman said, "What are you doing that for?" And she said, it's very auspicious for Ram to do this." And Hanuman, he was thinking, auspicious for Ram, red in the hair. I have more hair than Sita does. Actually, all over my body I have hair. So he took the sindoor and he rubbed it all over his body. And Sita Devi comes out finally to give the fruit to Hanuman. And she just sees some red ball, fur ball. "Is Hanuman, is that you? Why are you doing that?" And he said, "I'm trying to make everything auspicious for Lord Ram." So that was his great devotion to Lord Ram. And the citizens, they were all devoted to Lord Ram. I mean, they all, not as much as Hanuman, of course, but they all, I mean, Ram was everything to them. So much so that when Ram decided to leave the planet, they all went with him, except for the ones he prohibited. You know, he prohibited Vibhishan from going with him and Hanuman from going with him. But they all gladly entered the Sarayu River and went back to the spiritual world. Of course, they are Ram's eternal associates. Some of them were actually demigods that took birth to assist Ram. Like many of the monkeys were expansions of demigods, like Nal and Neil, expansions, Vishwakarma. And then, of course, you have Sugriva and Bali, you know, Sugriva, expansion of the sun god, and Bali is expansion of Indra. So, but basically, everyone loved Ram. This is a real king. A real king. And he was acting in such a way to not play any favorites. In other words, there was no nepotism in his rule. Now the word nepotism is a very interesting word. Nepotism means that you play favorites based upon your family. Like you'll see, I mean, let's give an example of one country. Korea, North Korea, that you have, anyway, not gonna, I guess I can mention. Anyway, then you had one leader, the great leader, and then his son became the next great leader. And these people are living high on the hog. That's an expression. They're living, as they arrested the citizens, starved to death. They're living more than like kings. And that's called nepotism. Or even in the United States, you have our president, not your president, my president. He appoints his son-in-law and his daughter and everything like that in positions of authority, even though they're completely unqualified, just because they're relatives. So Ram never thought like that. In fact, when there was some discrepancy in the kingdom, there was some criticism of Ram due to the fact that Sita Devi had been away in Ravana's house. Actually, Sita Devi had not been away in Ravana's house. It was Maya Sita. It was his problem. But still, there was some issue that perhaps the citizens wouldn't trust him because he accepted Sita back, and, you know, maybe there's some question about her. Some, just because of a washerman saying that, and he was thinking that, actually, I have to be ready to sacrifice my own happiness for the happiness of the citizens. Perfect example of king, or president, or prime minister, or any leader, or guru, or whatever, has to be ready to sacrifice their own happiness for those who they are protecting or those they are guiding. And so Ram showed the perfect example of that. I mean, many people, of course, they criticize Ram. How could he send Sita Devi away like that? I mean, she was pregnant. And he sent her away, just dropped her off, or had Lakshman just drop her off in the woods. This is extremely cruel. And from one point of view, yes, it's cruel. But if you look at it from the point of Ram exhibiting the position, the situation of being the perfect king, oh, no nepotism, not interested in anyone except for the citizens, were all praja, were all his children. No one special. It's not that someone's a family member, they're special. That's one point. Another point is Sita and Ram were never separated. Because you're looking at it externally. Just like you have the situation where Krishna leaves Vrindavan at 16 years of age. And you see, how could he do that to Radharani? But there's no question of separation because Krishna never left Vrindavan. Except he wasn't manifest to the eyes. But he's always there. He's still there in Vrindavan. So Krishna's never separated from Radharani. But to exhibit this mood of Vipralamba, Vipralamba means intense separation, then you have that happening with Krishna and Radha. And you have that happening with Ram and Sita. But they are never separated. There's no question. Like a devotee is never separated from Krishna. Krishna's in the heart. How can we say we're separated from Krishna? Krishna is in his holy name. So Sita was never separated from Ram. But for their own purposes of experiencing the mood of separation, that pastime took place. And you see this in many occasions in the Lord's pastimes, even with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now he took sannyas when he was 24 years old, but his wife was only 16. It was his second wife, was the first wife who passed away, Lakshmi Priya, passed away in Vishnu Priya. And you'd say, oh my God, practically every pastime of the Lord, there's some separation like that. Oh my God. Actually, there's an interesting story that one time Lakshmi left Narayan and he had to feel separation from her. Because Lakshmi was so upset that Lord Narayan had allowed Brigamuni to kick him in the chest. And Lakshmi resides on the chest of Lord Narayan. So she got so upset, she said, I can't take this anymore. And then she just left, and then Lord Vishnu had to become without Lakshmi. He became a poor man. And he was on the earth looking, where is my Lakshmi? Where is my Lakshmi? So sometimes it happens in the reverse, that Lord Vishnu has to look, feel separation from Lakshmi rather than Lakshmi feeling separation from Lord Vishnu. Of course, Lord Vishnu originally, ultimately, he married the Maya Sita that had been there with Lord Ram, who's Bhu Devi. So, like we mentioned before, it wasn't Sita that was kidnapped by Ram, it was Maya Sita, who was Bhu Devi, an expansion of Sita. She fell in love with Ram, and ultimately Ram said, I can't marry you, but you got to wait till the future. So in that particular case where Lord Vishnu was experiencing separation from Lakshmi, he encountered this Maya Sita and married her, borrowing money from Kuvera, and also a place to live from Varahadeva. That's the story of Tirumala, Venkateshwara. That's a different story. So, and then the real Lakshmi comes and sees her husband with another girl and gets real angry, and he gets so, let's say, scared of the two girls. He decides the only way I can escape is turn myself into a deity. So he turns himself into a deity, and the two girls see their husband as a deity, and they have to do the same thing. And that's Venkateshwara and Sridevi and Bhudevi. That's the story. So, anyway, so these pastimes of the Lord, where we're talking about Lord Ram and Sita Devi, there's internal things happening and external things happening. You know, there's an external explanation for Ram sending Sita away and an internal, like emotional reason for it. Just like Ram killing Ravan. There's an external reason for it. The demigods were bothered. They prayed to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He said, yes, I'll appear. You should all appear as monkeys or as bears because this Ravana doesn't have the benediction of freedom from being killed by monkeys, bears, or human beings. So that's the external thing. Paritranaya sarunam vinashaya chaduskrutam. You know, to protect the devotees, annihilate the miscreants, and establish religious principles. But then internally, the point is that Ram appeared because he wanted to enjoy himself in fighting the anger ras, rodra, the ghastly ras, because there's indirect rasas or tastes. There's direct, like friendship, parenthood, conjugal, servitude, passive, and there's indirect. So the Lord likes to have sometimes a serious fight, and he can't or he doesn't have a serious fight in the spiritual world because there's a sign there, no fighting allowed. Just like if you want to fight with a devotee, don't do it in the temple room. You tell the devotee, Sumuk, can I step outside with you for a few minutes? Because you don't want to yell in front of the deities. And then once you're outside, you say, you rascal, you whatever. But don't do it in front of the deities. So the same thing with Krishna. He really likes to enjoy these chivalry and all these things that Ram did when he was in this world. And so he basically said to his devotees, Jayam Vijay, step outside. And the way he arranged for them to step outside is he had them cursed by the four Kumaras. He said, all right, you have a choice. You can take three births as demons or seven births as devotees. And they thought, we want to get back soon. So, in the pastimes of Lord Ram, they took birth as Kumbhakarna and Ravan. And they were actually devotees of the Lord. But the Lord loves to fight with his devotees. He doesn't like to fight with just like plain old rascals. He can have other people take care of them. Like in the story, there's many, many stories like that where the Lord arranges for his devotees, like Muchukunda killed this rascal. And Krishna ran away from him. Called Yavana. Krishna ran away from Kalyavana because he didn't want to fight with him. He was just a rascal. But with devotees, he really likes to have fun. And this is fun. He and Ravana are having fun. They're exchanging ras. While he's shooting his arrows, he's saying things to Ravana like, you are, you know, you're like Mutra, he said to Ravana. You know, Mutra, actually Prabhupada said, a good son is called Putra and a bad son is called Mutra. The Prabhupada said, you know, anyway, Mutra, the son of urine. Anyway, so you can see, like in their exchange, you read the Valmiki Ramayana, that they had this really interesting exchange of calling each other names. Actually, Ravana didn't call Ram too many bad names, but Ram was calling Ram an old man, and Lakshman, he really got overboard. And even at a certain point, Ram had to say to Lakshman, you know, don't criticize him too much, you know, he's heroic. You know, just cool it. So you have this like intimate, like rasika exchange between both of them. And that's really the reason Ram appeared. Because otherwise, demons like Ravana or others could be killed by Krishna's devotees or Krishna's energy quite easily. Durga Ma is very capable of killing anyone and everyone. Yamaraj is very capable too. So these are loving exchange. This is actually a loving exchange that Ram was having with Ravana. So what I'm saying is there's deep esoteric things happening in the Ramayana, and you have to really read it with that in mind. It's the Lord's enjoyment. And you know, he was at one point, he was experiencing separation from Sita when Sita was kidnapped. So that's all enjoyment. Emotions. The Lord enjoys emotions. He's Rasadhya. Rasadhya is the name of the Lord. That means the knower of Ras, or emotions. Ras means taste, basically. Or emotions, feelings, bhav. Bhavanamrita. The amrit, the nectar of experiencing different emotions. So anyway, so this is the introduction to the story of Lord Ram, and tomorrow we're going to continue with some stories about Valmiki, and then ultimately we'll get into the essence or the center portion of the Ramayana. There's a lot more stories. So any questions or comments? Yeah.
When Lord Ram, when he was banished to the forest, just to fulfill the desire of
Kaikeyi
and Dasharatha, I understand that the external reason for him to go into the forest. When he went into the forest, he suffered, went through a lot of difficulties, and like he had to sleep on the ground.
He
went into the dense forest, so much of difficulties. What is the internal reason for him going through all these difficulties?
Well, first of all, I mean, the whole point was to kill the Rakshasas. You know, so there were Rakshasas in the forest, and that's where he went. But as far as the difficulty is concerned, let me explain something. Let me ask you a question. Why did Ram go externally? Okay. Why did Ram go to the forest? Because he was asked to do it by Kaikeyi, by his father. So Ram was showing, first of all, externally he's showing the ideal example of a son. He even said to Kaikeyi that if you asked me to do what I would have done, you didn't have to involve my father here. Because Ram considered her to be his mother just as much as Kausalya was his mother. Kausalya. Just as much. He was showing the duty of an obedient son. So that's the external thing. Internally, he was doing it out of love for his father. You know, so if you, first of all, if you do something out of love, it's no longer an austerity. It's like some of us wake up early in the morning and we wake up to please Prabhupada, like that. It's not an austerity. I mean, I don't experience an austerity. I get up early every morning. I never think, let me go back to sleep. Because I know it pleases Prabhupada. So it's not an austerity. See, the same thing that you may consider to be an austerity, just like, not only Ram, but let's take his brother Bart, who not only slept on the ground, he slept under the ground. Right? Because he didn't want to sleep higher or even at the same level as Ram. So he dug it. He was a nandigram and he dug like a ditch in the ground so he would be lower. And then it's described he only ate things cooked in cow urine. Can you imagine? I mean, but that was out of love for Ram. You have to understand, when someone is so much overwhelmed with love, then austerities are no longer austerities. Does that make sense? I mean, we don't experience love to that extent in this world. But just like, you know, if a boy is in love with a girl, boy, I guess they do have stories. I don't know. Do they? Maybe. Anyway, so a man goes to work. Okay, here. Like Prabhupada would quote the English economist Marshall, and he said, the root cause of economic development is the attraction between men and women. Because, you know, if the man wasn't attracted to the woman, why would he go to work? Wouldn't he just like sit back all day long? And especially here in Fiji, where you can just walk around and pick things from the trees. One time I was in Kawiuni, and the plane was delayed by 4 hours, and it was time for breakfast. And it was Sunday, and all the stores were closed. And the devotee said, I'm sorry, we can't give you breakfast. And I said, this is how conditioned people are. And I said, what's that tree called over there? They said, that's a banana tree. I said, what grows in a banana tree? Bananas. Pick some bananas for me. And there was a nut tree in the seashore. I said, Saint did the same thing, a papaya. And I had a whole feast without going to the supermarket. But people are so conditioned, you know, they think, unless I go to the supermarket, it's too much trouble to pick a papaya from the papaya tree. So anyway, so if we didn't have economic development, I mean, if people didn't get married and have children and everything like that, then, oh, let's take it easy in Fiji, right? The weather's nice, except when you get a cyclone. And you just like, I mean, I'll tell you something. Hawaii was similar to Fiji. You got all sorts of people living in the forest there. And some of them are my godbrothers. And it's so easy. They just live there and they live just eating the natural fruits and everything. So the cause of economic development is, you know, the attraction between men and women. And so, in other words, that's love in the material world, you know, because Radha and Krishna becomes Bollywood in the material world. And then, so that's why everyone's working. And it's not an austerity. You know, someone's going, like Sumukha's working hard in FEA every day, right? He works hard. I hope so. Anyway. And then he buys his wife a sari out of love, and earrings out of love. What else do you buy? Food out of love. And so, but if you didn't have a wife, you wouldn't go to work. Right? So, no wife, no life. Of course, we have some devotees who are working to support their mothers, which is good too. I mean, so the point is, if something's done out of some natural affection or love, it's no longer an austerity. Because you're doing it for a purpose. If you always remember I speak about this often, if you always remember the why you're doing something, it becomes easier. If you're just looking at the activity itself, it becomes drudgery. But if you're thinking of the why. So Ram is there in the forest and he's doing it out of love for his father and Kaikeyi. We have Bart who wanted to just like kick Kaikeyi away. And then of course Satrughna who wanted to kill Mandra. And you know, Ram forbade Bart's rejection of his mother. He said, you must accept her. She's your mother. And when Ram greeted Kaikeya and Kaushalya, Sumitra, when they came to see him in the forest to try to convince him to go back, he first went to Kaikeya because he loved her so much. So you have to understand this. Ram is just doing things out of love. He's moved by emotions. When you're moved by emotion, and that's the Lord, And also, Krishna, Rama has a spiritual body too. You know, it's not like if you ask me to lie down on the ground, I don't have a spiritual body. I'd have all aches and pains. But you know, Ram, Satchitananda Vigraha. So for Ram, in one sense, there's no austerity. I mean, so you look at it from different angles of vision, like that. But it's love. I mean, the whole pastime is loving exchanges. His killing Ravan is loving exchanges. Lakshman killing people is loving exchanges. And killing Indrajit is loving exchange.
And then there are many different lessons for us.
And Hanuman also, you know, doing his killing. He's doing out of love for Ram. And Lakshman, he's not eating the whole time he's in the forest. Because Ram never told him to eat. Pretty good. I couldn't do that. Even if I was told not to eat, even if Krishna told me not to eat, I'd probably eat anyway. So try to understand internally. That's the reason I'm describing these things. Internally, what's happening on the emotional platform. Because that's what Krishna enjoys. Rus. He's the enjoyer of rus. Does that make sense? Krishna doesn't enjoy like anything material. You're looking at it from a material viewpoint. But Krishna's enjoying the rus. And Sita Devi really enjoyed being in the forest too. She really had a good time in the forest. She actually asked, while she was pregnant, she asked, can I go to the forest before I give birth to see the forest again? And unfortunately, Lakshman just dropped her off in the forest and she went to the ashram of Valmiki Muni. Okay, I think we have to end now because we have a full day of programs. So thank you very much. All glories to His Divine Grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda Ki Jai. Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai.